Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am deeply grateful to be with you on this ninth day of November 2019. We're going to look at disappointment. It's entrance into depression for a lot of people. And we'll talk a little bit about it. And hopefully I'll be able to inform you, maybe even help you. Who knows? I'm very grateful you chose to be with me. I want to remind you, we're in our fundraising year-end event. This is a very, very important time for us because it determines whether or not we get to continue on being on radio, on offering you TV programs, etc. And I would be very disappointed. I would be very grateful, actually, if you would make a donation. A lot of people just ignore it. That's a disappointment. But that is the way the world is right now. And it's not getting any better, and it's not going to get any better. So I have to depend upon people such as yourself who listen to these radio programs, watch the TV programs on the website at aspire.org or on YouTube. And I really hope that you will find these programs worthy of your kindness, your support, your help. It is only through your tax-deductible gift that we are able to continue. And our mystery donor, who is very, very generous and kind, is urging you to support. He will match your donation dollar for dollar. So if you give a donation for year-end, he will match it. If you become a sponsor, which would be even, well, sponsorship is a very special thing. It isn't more important, but it is a very special thing because in the sponsorship, monthly or quarterly, you benefit by becoming a recipient of the podcast, video cast, commentaries that I write. And they're very, off the wall, different things that most teachers would not publicly talk about the ebb and flow of the work and how actually the world is changing. You also would get the message of the month each and every month that I make, as well as access to all of the discourses I did for my TV programs, all of them, 122 of them. They're all there for you for free. For becoming a sponsor and helping us sustain this radio program. So I sincerely hope you will help. You go to the website at aspire.org, if you would, please. There's the splash page. It'll tell you everything you needed to know. There's a wonderful little story there that I think you'll find very true about maybe you or maybe humankind in general or maybe something you can remember and go, no, I'm not going to do that again. So there it all is. People are very disappointed these days. I talk to numerous people at hospice in my counseling work. People are very, very disappointed. Some people are disappointed at the politics going on right now, the president, the Congress, all of that. And if you put your life and your trust in them, you're going to be disappointed because these are very selfish people that typically just want to get their snout in the public trough as deep as they can. They're not in it for service. They're in it for money and all of the perks that go along with it. So never buy that whole thing, you know, I gave service, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, you didn't. None of them did. None of them did. It's all about money. Follow the money and you'll really understand. If it was really service for, you know, the American public, they'd do it for free, wouldn't they? I do many things for free and I don't expect to be paid, but a lot of people do. And there's a great disappointment going on in this world because of the way things are. So I gathered together three questions that were put to me over the last, believe it or not, month or so, and I thought they would be good. The first one comes from Star, and she lives in Colorado. She says, I'm so disappointed with myself. I don't seem to measure up to anything. Why? Help. Star. Well, Star, I don't know what you mean by measure up to anything, and I don't know what you're gauging yourself against. But I admire that you wrote this to me, because a lot of people hide their personal disappointment with themselves or rationalize their evil somehow with their personal disappointments and never talk about them. They kind of hide them. It's just human nature for people to do that. I don't know what standard you're measuring yourself by. Are you measuring yourself by some moral standard that you think is right? I'm going to say some things to you, Star. This is not meant to hurt you. It's not meant to insult you, though it probably will. But it is the fact of life, okay? And then if you want to do something about it, you certainly can. Most of us live by our genetic nature. Our genetics are filled with all sorts of people who come into our existence from our bodies. We genetically hold a great deal of hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes of people that have come and gone and made it possible for us genetically to be the way we are. And most people dip into this genetic pool and become the person they are. They genetically feel the impulses, and they genetically have the predetermination to do certain things, have a certain temperament, that whole thing. And people are obsessed with their genealogy. They want to see where they came from. You came from stupid people from all over the world. You know, many of them were very talented, but you didn't come from a Buddha. You didn't come from a Lhasa. Spiritual awakening is not hereditary at all. None of Buddha's children, as far as we know, ever became enlightened or ever had an interest in the Buddha and what he was doing. Jesus didn't have kids, as far as we know, but you know, there you are. You don't inherit enlightenment. So what we do inherit through our genetics and our body is a whole mess of people, legions that have lived on before us, and we have genetic tendencies. And we give into these tendencies through gratification. The more gratified we become, or the more we make our life the process or the endeavor of gratification, the more we awaken these genetic traits. And they start to become really painful. They start to become those elements of life where we have traits where we hate and have prejudice and have fear. And they determine basically what we're going to be in this world, what we're going to become, I should really say. So you have all of that going on. Now, I don't know what you're upset about within yourself. I don't get it. But I am sure you have every right and reason to be disappointed. We have all faced this. I have faced it. Everyone has. When you're young, you think that you're being yourself by just being the person you think you're becoming. You think you're not like your mother or your father, or you think you have only the best traits of your mother and father, but you don't really have good traits. None of us do. We have traits that help us survive, and our survival is more important to us than the reality of our life, the real reality of love, of awakening, spiritual awakening. We just don't have that. We don't care about that. The whole effort of a lifetime is to transcend, not to succumb to my traits. So when you have a trait that says to you, well, just don't care about that, or I don't care about meditation, or I can't do meditation, or I'm not going to care about spiritually awakening, you know, why would I? There's no money in it, and believe me, there isn't. And you can say a lot of things, a lot of lies about spiritual awakening, and people buy them. And there's all sorts of things that are going on constantly with human beings. We basically just are born. We don't give a darn about our life other than how many things we can get in our life, ease, comfort, convenience, wealth, things like that. That's all we care about. So, Star, when you're thinking about, you know, the meaning of your life, or you're thinking about being disappointed about your life, it is only because you didn't have a life. You didn't find one. You have to find your life inside you. And you'll never please the human, not ever, not never. The human being is flawed. To the T, it's flawed. So you have to come to a certain point in your life where you recognize living by my human nature is a futile experience. Now, 99 and 9/10 of the people here on this planet would not agree with that and see that as a desecration of the human nature, but that's their problem. There is only a very few people on the planet, very few, who seek the authentic, the real authentic, which is to transcend the body and live in love, not in impulse, not in gratification, not emotionally. Very few people would ever discipline themselves for that. For the most part, Star, the body rules. Whatever it wants, it gets. What baby wants, baby gets. You know what I mean. So that's why you're disappointed. And you want help? You're going to have to transcend. You're going to have to change your life. You're going to have to change the way you live in this life, in this world, and find life within you. Find meaning within you. Find goodness in you. Find love in you. If you find love in you, you will have found the essence of it all, the beauty of it all. Don't miss this lifetime because you want a life that is better than the one you think you're living. Don't miss your life by being disappointed in yourself because you followed the human. If you follow the divine in you, if you get that tone, that texture, that vibration, if you can resonate to that, oh, much goodness will come out of you. Much, much goodness. A change will happen. That's all I can say. So there you are. I hope that helps, Star. Please don't be disappointed. You have to want love more than wanting what you think you love. And if you don't do that, you will miss the entire lifetime, everything that is meaningful. Please forgive me. Namaste. Sounds like I'm talking hieroglyphics, huh? People, they hear this kind of thing, and I don't think they really get it. The next one comes from Stan, and he lives in New York City. He says, "My whole life is a huge disappointment. I could die now, and I'd be happy. How do I live with my disappointments, Stan?" Stan, everything happens just the way it happens. It needs to happen. Everything is happening in accord with itself. Everything is unfolding just as it unfolds. And you can really look at everything in that way and misinterpret what has happened and make it a personal vendetta, some kind of ugly thing that you live by. And in doing so, you will miss what it is that is important. So, what can I say to you? Your whole life is a disappointment. Stop looking at it as a disappointment. Stop looking at it like it's supposed to be something better than you imagined yourself capable of doing. What is better? What is worse? These are silly questions that most people pose to themselves and never find the answers to because they're so busy thinking that they know what a good life is or what a meaningful life is. People don't know. You don't know, obviously. So why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you making this so ugly? Be grateful for your life and take a look at it. What is it that you don't comprehend? What is it that you don't get? If you sit long enough and you can observe non-critically, non-judgmentally, the state of your life, and you just look at it from the point of view of things are happening, but you don't know exactly why they're happening, and maybe why is the wrong word. Maybe we should just observe what is happening. You will find a little tap on your shoulder if you do this. The tap will be from within. It's a very beautiful little tap, and it suggests that the kind of psychology that most of us possess is not capable of spiritual awakening. And once you understand that, then you can sit and just watch. If you watch and you keep the visual going of watching without criticizing, you will see that everything could only turn out the way it turned out based on who you were at the time. This takes a great compassion and mercy for oneself. Nothing is personal in this world. Really, it isn't. Everybody wants to think it is. If you succeed, it's personal. If you fail, it's personal. Everything is personal to the average person. The pedestrian mentality loves to think that it's all me, me, me. It's not. There are many factors involved in our life. How we succumb to our biology, how we succumb to our genetics, our genealogy, as it were, and how we succumb to the tendencies of gratification, all of that, where our whole life is just going from one gratification to another. In the awakened point of view, everything is about a sense of oneness. You don't go from one point of view of living for one gratification you like to another, you go from consciousness. You recognize the totality of life from the state of an inner awakening. You start to see things and recognize things as they are, not as you imagine them to be. You don't pick and choose the things you like over the things you don't like. You sit and watch. You are aware. Everything is functioning according to the level of love that a person has been able to deduce from their heart, their authentic heart. If I do not understand my heart, my authentic heart, if I only live by my human heart, I will miss the entire event of my lifetime. And I will not see the people who have graciously entered into my life to teach me the way. They have taught me many people. I've had many, many people come and teach me one thing and one thing alone, to see how I love and what has kept me from the journey as the Buddha taught. You see, it's all really about love. The love that you and I engage in typically is emotional, and that gets us in a lot of trouble. But when you come to a place where it is only about love, when you are transcending into consciousness, you start to see that these impulses and desires and prides and ambitions and all that other stuff that we get involved in simply don't matter. You don't get in the way of the love, the authentic love that lives within you. You only do the authentic love. And if you do that, if you can do that, which you can, if you have a little practice, you will see the bigger picture immediately. And you will be realized, enfolded in a compassion and love. You don't have to earn it or deserve it. It's right there in front of you. It's right there within you. It's the goodness of your nature. Love is the goodness of your nature. And if you act from that and live from that, oh, the awakening is more than worth it. Believe me, it is. Thank you for your beautiful question. Stan, I hope I was able to help you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This comes from John in Colorado again. What do I do with my family? Their prejudice, their bias. I am so disappointed in them, I can hardly stand to be around them. How would you deal with this, John? Well, your prejudice and bias are so very important to the pedestrian mentality. You know, to the typical person who just lives by the convention of their emotionality. There's not much you can say to them. You can't change them, and don't even waste your time trying. That would be really foolish. You have to love them and accept them for where they are. That doesn't mean you have to be around them a lot. That doesn't mean you have to engage them and bring about some kind of argument. It wouldn't work. I'd keep my mouth shut and just watch. I just watch people. I hear what they say. I let them linger on in their lingering, and I don't try to change them. I don't try to make them a better person. I don't try to offer them something. I don't do any of that. I just sit and listen. Most of them think I'm agreeing with them, but I'm not. I'm not agreeing and I'm not disagreeing. Nati, nati, neither this, neither that. You stay in the middle path. Not this way, not that way. And eventually what will happen, John, is that you will feel a great compassion and mercy for them. You won't feel sorry for them. Don't get me wrong. You will feel a great compassion and mercy for them. You will feel their kindness, their goodness, their love deep inside them. They won't see it. They don't recognize it. They can't access it. But you see that it's there. So then what you do is you talk to that part of them. You don't talk to the other part, the prejudice, the biased part. You talk to the goodness of them. They may cock their head and go, what are you saying? Or who are you talking to here? Or whatever. But that's what you do. You draw out the best in people when you speak to the highest within them. And if they can't get it, they can't get it. But you're not engaging in them anything negative, and you're not engaging in them their trivial mind and all the stuff that goes on. You're engaging the love that, you know, has not been discovered yet. But the beauty of it is you're also discovering your own love in that way. Not personal love, but this higher love that lives within you, this more authentic love. Then you're able to reach them so beautifully. You know, it won't be in words. I reach people by not speaking to them, by sending them only the courage of love and the compassion of the heart. And I just keep that going constantly. And no matter what they say or what they do or how they think of me, I don't care. I just keep sending them that love. And out of that, what happens? I don't care. I only care about what it is I can do to help them. Maybe they like me, maybe they don't. I don't care. All I care about is that I have put some sense of love into this world. Some sense of love in them. And maybe help them question a little bit who they are, and what they think. Just maybe. And if I've done that, I'm get to go. I hope that helps you. I know it's hard to be with people who are contrary to our whatever. But this is the world we live in. And these are the people we are born into as family. And this is something we all have to deal with, but deal with it with mercy. I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. Be back on the air tomorrow. Have a good one. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.